I'm pretty sure most of us can count on one hand the positive things that came out of the COVID lockdown.
There aren't many, are there really?
But perhaps one of the positive things that happened as a result of the pandemic and the lockdown was the opportunity for a bit of a clear out. And I wonder if you're one of those people that perhaps used that time during lockdown, those moments that were sometimes idle, perhaps, or when you might have been a bit bored, to sort through some stuff, to sort through your possessions, perhaps plan a future visit to the tip, sell some stuff on eBay. Other auction sites are available, by the way. Recycle or fill bags ready to trek down to the charity shop with. All in an effort to emerge from the lockdown a little lighter and a little leaner. I think sorting through our outer world stuff, that stuff we gather around us, has benefits also for our inner well-being. Letting go of possessions can perhaps help us to let go of the past. Putting things in order helps us to order our minds and our thoughts. Perhaps it helps us to look forwards to a different future. I know many people who feel liberated by shedding things, possessions, things that they've accumulated, things once wanted, now forgotten or useless, or even things still wanted, but actually on reflection, not really needed. A good clear out perhaps can offer an opportunity to be set free, to move in a new direction. We heard in our gospel reading, didn't we, that Jesus gives a really good example of someone who is holding tightly onto earthly things. There's a phrase, isn't there? Holding onto them almost for grim death, because that's ultimately what he was told it would result in. Someone who has forgotten the things of God. His story of this rich fool is an answer to someone who comes to him about a disputed will. Someone who hasn't benefited from their father's death and is more than a little peeved about it. Jesus warns him to be careful about greed. As he goes on to tell the story of a rich man who has a bumper harvest, then builds bigger and bigger barns in which to store all his stuff, all his produce, so that his future will be secure and he can relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Or perhaps, as we hear more often today, you only go round once in this life, so accumulate and grab whatever you can as quickly as you can and as much as you can. Oh, do it with gusto, by the way. From a worldly perspective, I guess it seems like a good idea, doesn't it? But there's a sting in the tale. The man dies before he can enjoy his future bounty. And God says, "You fool." Strong language, dismissive language, suggesting no alternative to the rich man's best practice business strategy. God utters this put down, along with the edict, "Your soul has been bankrupted by your balance sheet. Foreclosure is imminent. You're dead." He's been so busy acquiring stuff that he has neglected to build up his treasure in heaven. He hasn't had space for God to grow in his life. And so, unlike Luke's other stories, things like the Good Samaritan, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, here there is no last minute rescue, no happily ever after, no wiggle room. And I think it's fair to say that it's impossible not to notice the man's self-centeredness, is it? He firmly believes that all that he has is his and belongs to him. He says, "My crops, my barns, my grain, my goods, myself, my stuff. Me, me, me. Mine, mine, mine. And I wonder if we sit or stand here this morning, they're words that we so often hear echoing around us about things, possessions, opinions, entitlements. Me, me, me. My rights. Mine, mine, mine. The truth is that everything we have comes from God and is given to us to steward in a responsible way and in a Christ-like way, might I just add. Let's be honest, the one who put God first would have given away the surplus harvest to the widow, the orphan, the stranger, as the Mosaic law required. He would also have given 10% tithe to the temple, as God required. And the man in the story kept it all for himself, for his rainy day, for his old age. For Jesus, this man is a fool, since where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. If we do not seek first the kingdom of God, then we are as good as dead, says Jesus. It's a warning. And greed can sneak up on us and become part of our lifestyle so very easily. In fact, for many, it already has. It's a reality of living in our world today, isn't it? Me, me, me. In fact, there's an ad on television that talks very much about, I deserve a new car, a new house. I deserve the best holiday, the latest iPhone 73. Putting it out there, saying it's okay to live like that. Jesus says it's not. Seek first the kingdom of God, because if not, you are dead. And here we are in ordinary time, that time which I said in a sermon a few weeks ago, I actually quite like, because it reminds me that Jesus lived an ordinary life as a normal man. Yes, he performed miracles, but his life was also full of the mundane. So there were miracles in the mundane, and we should look for them, which is why we share witness and testimony at each of our services. It's a green time, isn't it? Well, it would be if our grass wasn't brown from the sun. But we can see green in here today. Yeah, my stall is green. Green, which indicates ordinary life, new life, eternal life. And I think it's a good time of year to do some Christian stock taking, to check on how our discipleship might be going. In that passage from Colossians, Paul speaks of sorting out our Christian lives, letting go of the past, moving into the future that is Christ-shaped. If we're baptized into Christ, then we are a new creation, our old self needs to die so that Christ may grow and be revealed within us. Of course, we don't become Christ-like all at once, do we? Just like all those little ones I have the joy of baptizing at the moment, they and we have to grow into that. We have to mature. And it takes a lifetime and beyond to grow into the image of God. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to allow us to change, to let go of things, to grow into something else, to grow into other things. So perhaps in these weeks ahead, the more ordinary time as we head, dare I say it, towards Advent. It's not that close, don't worry. Perhaps we could make a bit more space in our lives for God. And I wonder how we might do that. Maybe you're sat here this morning hearing the words that I've spoken and you realize you need to go home and have a right good clear out. To take all those things that you've been saving or hoarding for a rainy day to the charity shop and let someone else have the benefit of them. Maybe you need to get rid of that coveted thing that you didn't actually really need, but because your friend had one, you wanted one also. A want, not a need. I know I'm guilty of that and have been in the past. Maybe you need to recycle some things. Maybe you need to throw some things away. Let go of the clutter. Be lighter, be leaner disciples. Give things to people that perhaps need them more than you. And then as you do that, perhaps think carefully about what you bring in to your home. Think about the way you shop, about the way you buy. Be responsible with your possessions and your spending power. And as you've moved externally, perhaps to shed some of this clutter, move internally. What attitudes, what prejudices, what behaviors might need to change or to be ditched? I was talking to somebody at dinner recently. We were talking about people who wear sandals with socks. And this person said to me, actually, I've realized that when I spot that, I have a prejudice and I automatically think something about them. I need to shed that. Not that there's anything wrong with wearing sandals with socks, by the way. I'm just saying. Christ is in everyone we meet. But I wonder if we take time to really see Christ in them, to see Christ in their eyes as we look at them. I wonder if we take time to see others the way that God sees them, as masterpieces, as his crowning glory. Made in his image, loved by him. And do we set our minds on heavenly things? Do we set our mind on the things of heaven? And so as I say that, I wonder what your response might be to questions like this. And don't worry, you don't have to shout out your answers. How is your prayer life at present? How is your study of the scriptures? How is your service to one another? Who are you discipling? Who are you praying for? Who are you praying with? How are you seeking God's kingdom in our community? And of course, yes, here it comes. How is your giving? How are we being generous? How are we worshiping God in our generosity? And I know that there have been examples recently where we have seen that. Generous responses to campaigns like the Ukraine and the call I put out to buy some books for our primary school leavers. But how is our giving as a worshiping community? Do we really recognize that the responsibility is ours to both maintain, to pay the bills, to keep going, but also to grow, to be able to reach out missionally, both into our communities and into the rest of the world, by the way, to see transformation and change. Sometimes we do have to ask ourselves, when was the last time I reviewed or updated the giving that I do locally and in the wider world? Perhaps that calls us to remember that this is God's, that what we hold is not ours. They are gifts from God, which God expects us to steward wisely. Are we ready to self-examine ourselves with questions like, how do I feel about what God has given to me? Is it mine? Am I a steward of what has come my way? Am I blessing others with the blessings that flow to me? Am I generous or am I a hoarder, taking the things God has given me and storing them for myself and my own purposes? A test of our heart is how we give. Are we generous or are we hoarders, holding on to stuff for this rainy day? And this is something I will ask us to journey with in September as we look at giving and stewardship And this, I know, is challenging. There is much to think on. There is much to do. And so my prayer for all of us is that the Lord would show us where to begin and encourage us on our journey. Learning to be rich towards God, looking to the things that are above, growing more and more into the Christ-like shape that God calls us to be and God sees us as. And so this morning, I invite you to take the opportunity as we gather round the Lord's table shortly, as we partake of that most holy meal as community, as brothers and sisters in Christ. I invite you to make space once again for Christ in your life and move confidently and humbly into his future. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for all your good gifts.